Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you by God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word today is our epistle lesson from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, beginning at verse 4. Now, for many, family is relative. I was adopted at birth into a family that brought me up and raised me as their own son. I have an adopted brother, two adopted sisters, and for many years that was the only family that I knew. My wife Jennifer has always been interested in family history. A few years ago, I bought her a subscription to Ancestry.com. I also did the Ancestry DNA test just to see where I might have come from. It's always been kind of difficult, especially with our children, to answer doctor questions about parental medical history. We always just said, oh, he was adopted. But my wife is an amazing researcher and found my birth parents. My mother, my birth mother, is still living. And I have a half-brother and sister as well. I was able to contact my birth mother, and we talk now, at least weekly. And I have a cousin on my father's side, and we're also in communication. It has been a really amazing and wild ride, that I can tell you. Only by the grace of God did it happen. But there is family, the one I was raised with, and there is family, the one I was born to. It's a marvelous and confusing mess. There is blood, and there is family. But in God's family, both of these things are true. For as children of promise, we are both adopted and connected by blood, not the blood of our earthly parents, but by the blood of Jesus. And this was the promise all along. It was a covenant made by God himself, ultimately made possible in Jesus. It was a promise made to our spiritual forefather, Abraham, known at the time as Abram. And it was a big promise to keep. At that time, Abram was without an heir, fearing that he would die without a child. He believed his estate would pass to his head steward. God had a different plan. In Genesis chapter 15, 4 to 6, we read, "The word of the Lord came to him, Abram. This man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. Then he took Abram outside and said, 'Look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them.' Then he said to him, 'So shall your offspring be.' Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness." Abram had faith in God's resolute promise, a promise that would be kept generation after generation until the time was right and Jesus would be born. In the book of Galatians, our epistle lesson for today, chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, we read these words. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons of God, because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father,' so that you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. You are the sons and daughters of God. You have the very Spirit of God within you, a spirit that cries out to God, 'Father, Father.' You are God's child, his eternal heir, and no one can ever take that away. And how do we become the children of Abraham and heirs of God? In the same way that Abraham did, by the gift of faith. In Galatians chapter 3, 7 to 9, we read, "Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announced the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. But until Jesus came, we, like Abraham's house, were under a steward. This steward, however, was not a man. Instead, it was the law. In Galatians chapter 3, 23 to 25, we read, "Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian." This is one of the most beautiful and yet difficult truths to grasp as Christians. Just like Abraham, we are people of faith, not people of works. We are people of grace, not people of the law. But as I look back over this particularly strange year, I am amazed and saddened at how quickly I forget this wonderful truth. I am convicted by the times I fall back into the grip of the guardian, allowing myself to be locked up again in my spirit by the law. It is during these times, times of doubt and temptations, times when faith is weak and the law looms over us, that we return to the words written in Galatians chapter 3, verse 10 through 14. "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, as it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by living a perfect life under the law. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Jesus has truly redeemed you. He has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse himself. For all our sin and failure, Jesus allowed himself to be bound, to be beaten, to be killed, to be crucified, so that we might have an eternal family in the house of God. Jesus provides forgiveness. Jesus provides a way back home, and through him, we are saved. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 to 29, it says, "So, in Christ Jesus, you are all the children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." You are a promise fulfilled. A promise given to our father Abraham, a promise that through Jesus, his offspring, God would create a nation that outnumbered the stars, a nation that would bless the world, a nation clothed with Jesus in the waters of baptism, a nation that belongs to him. You belong to him. You are the children of the promise, the children of Abraham. You are God's mighty nation, dressed in white robes of righteousness, washed clean in Jesus' blood. And God's nation is unlike all others, for it is not bound by geography, race, or political affiliation. A nation in which no ballots are cast, but eternal election is secured. This nation, God's nation, finds its unity in the promised offspring, in the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And in this Christian unity, we become a kingdom of priests, a holy people, a family of grace, bound together in Jesus and Jesus alone. This is a promise for you and for your children. It is a promise made to all who have the gift of faith in the promised Son of God. As we reflect on this past year and look forward to the next, we're reminded of our identity as God's adopted children, as children of the promise, as heirs to his kingdom. I encourage you to move forward in this baptismal faith, clinging to God's unending grace. Embrace the freedom Jesus won. Strive in faith to maintain the bonds of our family, God's family. And what does this look like? What are the hallmarks of our new adopted family? The book of Galatians gives us a glimpse. It describes our Christian family as one that stands firm in Christ's freedom, walks united in the Spirit, and bears one another's burdens in love. While each of these characteristics is vital to the health of a Christian family, without the first standing firm in Christ's freedom, the others will fail. Everything we are called to be and do as adopted children of God is rooted in the freedom we have received in Christ. To fall back under the law or to drive our brothers and sisters by the law is fatal to the Christian family on earth. In fact, it is the very thing that Paul was concerned about when he wrote the letter to the church in Galatia. Old habits die hard, but falling back into this old habit brings death. This is not to say that the law has no purpose in the life of God's children. The law shows us God's will and what it is to live our lives faithfully before him. But it's no longer who we are. No longer are we held captive by it or defined by it. We have a new identity, one that is rooted in Christ. It can take a lifetime to embrace this transformation. To see ourselves and one another as forgiven children of God who yet sin, but are not defined by it. This is it's a deep Christian mystery. However, it is only by clinging to this liberation that Paul describes that we can begin to walk united with the Spirit. Each and every day we are presented with two very different roads to travel. The first, defined by the desires of the flesh, and the second, defined by the fruits of the Spirit. The road of desire is a familiar one, the things that our pre-adopted selves were defined by: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, and the list goes on and on. That seemingly never-ending list is the very reason the law exists. But there is another road, the one defined not by our flesh's desire, but by the Spirit's fruits. Along this road, we find very different things. On the road of the Spirit, we find love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This list is the one that the law knows nothing about. In fact, against these things, there is no law. It is a road where we follow the Spirit, united with our brothers and sisters, leaving all conceit, provocation, and envy behind. But as you might expect, there will be times, just like in every family, when sin and conflicts arise, when the walk is not as unified as we would like. It's in times like these that Paul calls us to bear one another's burdens in love, even when we try with all of our might to guard ourselves from temptation. Sin still lives in our bones. It does happen. And as a family, we are called to handle it as God's children. In any and every transgression, we are called to restore our brother or sister in a spirit of gentleness, a gift provided by the Spirit himself for those who are keeping track. To bear the burden of one another is the one of the greatest expressions of love itself. It's what Jesus did for you, bearing the burden of our sin on the cross, so that we might be set free to be the people of God. And to bear one another's burdens, it takes all the fruits of the Spirit, combined with humbly recognizing who we are and what we have been given as God's adopted children. I want to take a moment to acknowledge the year we've all been through together. 2025 has certainly had a mind of its own, and it has not been easy. Fear, anger, depression, division, death, during times like these can be easy to forget. To forget who we are. To forget that we are loved by God. To forget that we are heirs to a glorious kingdom made possible by God's Son. If you're tempted to listen to the call of the law, I want you to know that Jesus has set you free. If you feel worthless, know that God considered you to be worth the life of his Son. If you feel unloved, I proclaim to you that God's love for you in Jesus is deeper than any you have ever experienced. It is eternal. You will always be loved by him. There is no need to fear. For in Jesus, God is on your side. He is your Father, and you are his child. You can cry out to him, Father, and he will hear. I cannot think of a greater message that is needed in our world today, especially as this new year begins. God made a resolution, and in Jesus, just at the right time, it has been fulfilled, and it's been fulfilled for you. As I conclude my message, I want to share with you a hymn written by Martin Luther. It's titled, From Heaven Above to Earth I Come. He wrote it for use by his family at their Christmas Eve devotions. This hymn is based on Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 14. And reminds us of this promise fulfilled by God that we heard about in our text today. Excuse me. From heaven above to earth I come, to bear good news to every home. Glad tidings of great joy I bring, whereof I will now say and sing. To you this night a child is born of Mary, chosen mother mild. This tender child of lowly birth shall be the joy of all the earth. 'Tis Christ our God, who far on high has heard your sad and bitter cry. Himself will your salvation be. Himself from sin will make you free. Now let us all with gladsome cheer follow the shepherds and draw near to see this wondrous gift of God, who hath his own dear Son bestowed. Glory to God in the highest heaven, who unto us his Son has given, while angels sing with pious mirth a glad new year. to all the earth. Abraham's children, heirs of God, there is only one resolution I am compelled to make at the beginning of this new and uncertain year. I resolve to know nothing but Jesus and Jesus alone. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.